I'd like to first just echo some of Ms. Bachner's remarks. It is at once a very humbling experience to be here and to speak. It is also undoubtedly an unfortunate one. While it's always nice to be able to share Torah, it's always nice to be able to get together with many chaverim, it's also obviously, again, an unfortunate one, one that we hope Chaim v'zocha to a refuah shlema b'karuv mamish, and that we are zocha next time, hopefully, to be learning Torah under much better circumstances. The topic tonight that I'm going to be speaking about is Shaliach Tzibor, and to be honest, the reason why I'm speaking about it is because of the nature of Chaim and what he's done. I've always related to him on two different levels, one as an individual on a one-on-one level, and also as somebody that's sort of in the crowd when Chaim is up in front, when Chaim is davening from the Amud, when Chaim is singing, whatever it is, sort of that koach of Chaim, that strength of Chaim. But my oldest son is also named Chaim. After the bris, a friend of mine came over and said, you know, it's a very beautiful name because the name Chaim has Yud Yud in the middle, Shem Hashem in the middle, and Chesed Mem on the outside, Chaim, it's warm. So when a person inside is so close to Hashem and a person is so passionate, that just breeds warmth, it inspires warmth, and it's something which is undoubtedly true with Chaim. I believe it was in the late 1800s, early 1900s, there was what I believe historians refer to as the golden age of the cantorate. Now, for me that sounds like a dark age for my religious experience, but the golden age of the cantorate was a time where large shuls were being built, shuls hired, official chazanim, they were up in the middle and they were there, and the tzibor, those in the crowd were very passive. The chazanim were people of enormous stature. They were people that were looked up to. And the truth is, they were really the ones that brought crowds into shul. There was a rav at the time. I am indebted to Rabbi Waxman's father, Dr. Chaim Waxman, for getting insight into who this person is. Named Rabbi Moshe Weinberger. He was a Jew that came over from Hungary. He wanted to be a rav. He unfortunately did not get a job, so he went into business. And he wrote a book critiquing the state of American Jewry. One of the things he critiqued was this sort of rabbi-chazan relationship. That really it's all about the chazan, really everybody's only there for the Shliach Tzibor, and they're really not so interested in the rabbi. But the chazan at that time was the central figure in the shul. Comes along the early 1900s, and we have the birth of a very different movement, the Young Israel movement. The way the Young Israel started was with a group of people, where it was young people that were davening for the Amud. It wasn't an official chazan. It was sort of one of the crowd. It was a person of a very different stature. It was a person of a very different function in a certain sense. It wasn't the chazan that was drawing everybody in. It was the participatory nature of that tefillah. The fact that everybody could sort of come in and daven, that really brought it together. These two perspectives of the chazan as sort of the person, the stature, the chazan as the person who's really the person that's up there and davening, versus sort of the other perspective, the chazan as the person who sort of wanted the crowd. And so united, I'd like to sort of speak about those two aspects of the Shaliach Tzibor. The reality is that our Shliach Tzibor nowadays is very, very different than the nature of the Shliach Tzibor at the time of Chazal. We are, at least the vast majority, literate. We have the ability to read. We have access to Siddurim. This is not a time like it was during Chazal where the Mishnah tells us in Rosh Hashanah, people were really dependent on the Chazan to fulfill their Chiyas Tefillah. If I wanted to be Yotzei Davening, if I wanted to daven, I couldn't do it on my own. I don't know how to. I don't know the tefillah by heart. I can't read necessarily. I don't have a sitter. So a person then was totally dependent, really, on the chazan. It's actually interesting that in the time of the Gaonim, the Rush quotes, we know that in Rosh Hashanah, so we have a very long silence from Esrei. We have Malchios, Zichronos, and Shofros. It's nine different brachas. In the time of the Gaonim, the Tzibor didn't daven nine brachas. The Tzibor only davened a regular Yontif from Esrei. It was a Shliach Tzibor that came along, and he sort of added Malchios, Zichronos, and Shofros. It was a Tzibor where we were really dependent on the Shliach Tzibor. We really needed him in order to be Yotzei Chiyas Tefillah. The question is, so how exactly does that impact his status? On the one hand, you know, all he's really doing is helping us fulfill our obligation. I don't have, when I go to someone's house for a Friday night meal, and they make Kiddush, and I answer Amen, so I appreciate the ability to hear their Kiddush and for them to be motimi. It doesn't necessarily come with enormous respect for the person. I don't stand up when they walk in the room now because they helped me fulfill a particular obligation. Alternatively, this is the person that is going to facilitate my davening. Without him, I can't do it. So where does this person stand? Is this person of enormous stature in the time of Chazal? Is it not? Who is this person, and how do we relate to him? So there is a fascinating comment of the Rambam in his commentary on the Mishnah and Menachos. The Rambam is sensitive to the fact that if you're just studying Mishnah, so it's really not clear when do Mishnayos elaborate on certain points and when do they not. The Rambam points out that when it comes to Tzitzis and Tefillin, the Mishnayos don't have lengthy discussions. It's pretty clear what this says, what's ma'akev, what's necessary, but there's no lengthy discussion. So the Rambam relates this to Shliach Tzibur. If you look through the Mishnah, there are no qualifications on who can be a Shliach Tzibur. It sounds like anybody that can be part of a minyan can also come along and be a Shliach Tzibur. So on the one hand, it sounds like this is anybody can come up. The Rambam argues the opposite. The Rambam argues the reason why the Mishnayos don't tell us who can daven for the Amud is because it was so well known in the time of the Mishnayos, the order, the process, the procedure for how we call upon a Shliach Tzibur was so clear and so famous, there was no need to elaborate on it at all in the Mishnayos. So the absence in the Mishnah of any real discussion of the status of a Shliach Tzibur, who can, who can't, is really something which is up for debate. Is it because it was so critical, everybody knew about it, or is it because really anybody can come up and anybody can daven? Relating to this question of sort of the status of a Shliach Tzibur, we know that I think when Moshe Soloveitchik passed away, so there was significant debate in YU who's going to take over to be the Rosh Yeshiva. Looking back, it seems like Soloveitchik was a great choice, and understandably so. But there, at the time, there were real debates whether the Rav could or could not be the Rosh Yeshiva. So one of the... There was a letter written, I believe, by Rav Lazer Silver, who was the head of Agudas Harbanim, who wrote a letter to YU and said, we think that the Rav should take over his father's position. So I think at the time, in the YU newspaper, maybe in the commentator, they wrote a critique on who does he think he is. So the board went back to Blazer Silver, you know, thank you very much for your suggestion, we take it to heart. So he responded, I wasn't offering a suggestion, I'm telling you what the halacha is. The halacha is that positions of authority are inherited from father to son. So there is inheritance through money, there's also inheritance through positions of authority. We nowadays, for whatever reason, rarely invoke that, because the reality is the Rashba thinks that Shliach Tzibur is an inherited position. It is a position of authority that if my father is a Shliach Tzibur, then I take over. As long as I'm not terrible, I don't have to be that great. As long as I'm not terrible, I take over. The Rashba thinks, and this is the Ramah quotes Lahalacha, that a Shliach Tzibur is a position of significance, of stature, and it's something which can even be inherited. The Rush has a similar discussion. Let's say it's a financial crisis. A shul can only afford a rabbi or a chazan. So who do you hire? So nowadays the answer is pretty the rabbi. The Shofar Paschins, however, that unless the Rav is a Baki Behora, unless the Rav is this unparalleled Talmud Chacham who is really an expert, so then you hire a Shliach Tzibur. So the Tzibur takes precedence. Now, the more that the Shliach Tzibur is not just a person in the crowd that gets up to daven, the Shliach Tzibur is somebody of stature. The Shliach Tzibur is somebody with significance for the community. He's really setting a tone. He's really the person that's there. So then we understand why he'd be chosen. The word chazen, the Rishonim point out, comes from the word chozeh, to see. Yavud Ram says that's because he's the only one that has a sitter, so he sees the text of the sitter. Other Rachonim suggest, no, Chozeh, he has vision. Shliach Tzibur is the one that knows what the community needs. Shliach Tzibur is the one that sort of feels from the crowd what kind of song they want. What kind of davening should I have today? So if people are as a chozeh, as a person who really has that level of insight and that level of significance. The problem is all this changed, because once people could start reading, so that Tzibur became much less relevant. Once people weren't dependent on him, so we didn't really need a Siyas Tzibur as much anymore. I can daven on my own. So I need him in order to respond for Kedusha, for certain other things. But, you know, the prime time show of a Siyas Tzibur, Chazar Tashat, he's on his own and he's davening there, in a certain sense seems almost redundant, if not irrelevant. The Rambam was asked this in a tshuva. The tshuva was asked from a community where they came to the Rambam and said, we are all knowledgeable people. We all know how to daven. Do we still need to do Chazar Tashat? Does it still have to be done? Could we just, you know, move on and add a couple minutes? Or they say, well, maybe we should do it because we don't want to embarrass someone. Let's say somebody comes in and doesn't know how to daven, so I don't want to embarrass them. So Rambam paskins that we still need to do Chazar Tashat, not because the reason applies. The reason no longer applies. It's to help the most of the other people, no longer relevant. It's a takana, the rabbis established it, and even if the reason falls, so we still do it. The truth is, though, in the Rambam's school, they had no Chazar Tashat. In all of Egypt, in the Rambam's lifetime, there was a problem at the time of the Rambam. People were talking about during Chazar Tashat. So they asked the Rambam, what do we do? So the Rambam said, let's basically do a long Heichi Kedusha. The time of the Rambam, they came up and the Chazan started, Baruch went through Kedusha. Unlike what we do, when we do Heichi Kedusha, they kept on going all the way through until Birkas Kohanim. Because the time of the Rambam, Sfardim, they were doing Birkas Kohanim. They would do sort of one collective Shemona Esrei all together, all the way through, with no Chazar Sashas in the time of the Rambam. When the Jews came from Morocco on Aliyah, so there was a significant debate amongst Sfardi Gedolim in Yerushalayim, because the tradition from the Moroccan Jews that made Aliyah was not to have a Chazar Tashat for Shabbos Musaf or for Musaf on Rosh Chodesh. That was their tradition. Why? They said, it goes back to the Rambam. The Rambam dropped Chazar Tashat because people were talking too much. People were not focusing, so we got rid of Chazar Tashat. We all do one Kedusha. So Rav Avadia Yosef and many of the and his sons in a variety of places quote, and this relates to, I guess, a large discussion about the various Moroccan Menhagim, but the Rambam, Rav Avadia Yosef came out and said, no, we have to change that minhag. We don't do that anymore. Now we're able to focus. Now we're able to pay attention. Totally got rid of it. We should have a regular Chazar Tashat. Rav Masas, who is the chief rabbi of Yerushalayim, from, I believe, Moroccan descent, wrote a tshuva saying, no, this is our minhag. How did he explain it? Why specifically Musaf on Shabbos and Musaf on Rosh Chodesh? So he said, listen, it's a long davening. By the time Musaf comes along, no one's really paying attention to Chazar Tashat. V'lashem, based on Shiboli Halakha, they just want to go home and have Kiddush. They want to go home and eat. So he argued, you know what? I don't know. I don't have any, I guess, Moroccan friends in Yerushalayim to know what to do. But that debate, again, all this underscores the fact that it's true by the Rambam. Chazar Tashat, Siyas Tzibur, nowadays a lot of what's being done is sort of a remnant of the past, an important one, a significant one. It's a takana by Chazal, but that's really his function. It's interesting even that many know that there are yeshivas where the minhag is that there's no Chazar Tashat when it comes to mincha. So the question is why. It's a takana, you have to do it. So it's often quoted from Rav Kamenetsky that the entire takana to say Chazar Tashat never applied to yeshivas. Yeshivas were always places where people knew how to daven. So the real takana never applied to yeshivas, and that was how, I guess, his justification for that. But it does underscore the fact on some level that Chazar Tashat, and in certain elements of the Shliach Tzibur's role, is sort of, you know, secondary, or at least not as critical. Soloveitchik, not based on the Rambam's tshuva, based on the Rambam in Mishnah Torah, came to a very different conclusion. I even want, there's a minyan in YU. that I daven at. So after the minyan, there's always a quick Dvar Halacha. So one day I was giving Dvar Halacha, and it was about Kiddush and Shul on Friday night. So you say Kiddush and Shul on Friday night. So in that Shuvah, the Rambam says, the same way that Hadar Shasat, you still say, even just because it's a Takana, even if the reason fell, so you still say, Kiddush and Shul on Friday night, that's a Takana, and that's what we should do. So Rabbi Baruch Simon was there, so he pointed out that he's at a wedding once, I forget who, a prominent Rosh Hashiva asked him, seemingly that Shuvah of the Rambam goes against the approach of the Rav that we're about to suggest. That Shuvah of the Rambam is really all about the notion of Chazar Shas, again, just being a remnant, being a takana, being something that's there, but the reason really falling. The Rav, and this is very much in line with what Ms. Locker suggested earlier, the Rav understood that the function of the Shliach Tzibur and Chazar Shas specifically is not just a takana lacking a reason, it's not just that we're doing it because we once needed to do it, but rather there is inherent value. The Rav understood that the same way that a karban is brought collectively on behalf of the people, so Chazar Shas is not just an opportunity to be motzi other people, to help other people fulfill their mitzvah, it is the community's collective tefillah. And the chazan that there is representing the community. That's why many know that the Rav was careful to stand throughout Chazar Shas with both of his feet together, to listen closely, because the Rav understood it's the community's tefillah, and the Rav argued the Shaliach Tzibur is the Kohen. The Shliach Tzibur is like the Kohen who brings a karban, so that's what he does. That's how he pointed out, the Gemara understands, Kozer B'Gamliel, that a Shliach Tzibur could be motzi, the Am Shebesados, people that weren't in shul, people that were out in the field, that were unable to come to shul, according to one day in the Gemara, we don't assume like this, according to one day in the Gemara, they were able to fulfill their requirements to daven, not coming into shul at all, and not hearing the Shliach Tzibur. Why is that so? So the Shulchan Gevurim says, because this is only true in regards to davening, which is keneged tamidin, which corresponds to a karban. In the same way a karban is brought, when a Kohen brings a karban to Beis HaMikdash on behalf of the Jewish people, all the Jewish people aren't necessarily there. So too, when the Chazan comes, the Chazan davens, so he's like a Kohen, he can help fulfill everyone else's requirements. I came across today, if you're into gematrias, it's an interesting one. The Chidah has a sefer called Devash Lafi. So he has the following ha'ara. On the pasuk of Losale b'malos on Mizrachi, that when going up to the Mizbeah, a person shouldn't go on steps, rather it's a ramp. So he points out that Ki Mizbechi is Bigmatria Bichazen, because when a Chazen davens with appropriate kavana, he is viewed like a Kohen Gadol who is being Makrivei Karba. That the Chidah understood, similar to the Rav, although, you know, one's making Duke in the Rambam, one has a gematria of Ki Mizbechi and Bichazen. Maybe it just proves that it's correct, that they're both coming from different angles. But this notion, the Shliach Tzibur, is there as a Kohen. Interesting question. I saw at least one Achron ask. Rabbi Nussbacher spoke earlier, and I was thinking about it actually, because I had this chus of learning Bar Basra under Nussbacher, and at the time we learned a lot about these parallels between Beis HaMikdash and Shul. So think about it for a second. So many dinim, so many of our laws are modeled after the Beis HaMikdash. So how come no one thinks the Shliach Tzibur should dafka be a Kohen? How come no one thinks the Shliach Tzibur should, at least there should be a lichatila, an ideal, Shliach Tzibur should be a Kohen? Anything, we really have the opposite. When it comes to Birkas Kohenim, we often, Kohenim will be hesitant. Maybe I don't want to daven for the Yom, I don't know, should I not? Why wouldn't we want to have the Shliach Tzibur be a Chazan? So I'll suggest, and this is, I guess more al derech drush. There's a fascinating comment of the Kli Chemda. Kli Chemda, I believe, was a student of the Sakshav Rebbe, who makes the following observation. He suggests that every single Yisrael, every single Jew, really does have a status of Kohen that they can tap into. Because Baruch Hu told us, you are going to be the Mamlechas Kohenim. You're going to be a nation of Kohenim. So where does it manifest itself? So if the Chemda says it manifests itself that anyone can bring a karban on a bama. There are certain times in the history of Klal Yisrael where you're allowed to bring a karban, not in a Beis HaMikdash and separate a separate mizbeah, so anyone can bring it. Why? Because every Jew on some level is a Kohen. It's interesting that one thing that emerges, according to Rav Soloveitchik, according to the Chida, when anyone gets up to be Shliach Tzibur, in a certain sense, they're tapping into that Yisrael's potential for kahuna. We're tapping into that notion that we have that capacity. We are part of the Mamlechas Kohanim. We are a unique nation. We are a special nation. And in a certain sense, in this, I guess, more ambitious approach, that's really what the Shliach Tzibur does. The Shliach Tzibur really is the Kohen. It's interesting that most people who quote the Kohen, who use the model of Kohen, use it to play up the role of the Chazan. Right? If he's like a Kohen, so I understand why it can be inherited. Because Kahuna is inherited. If he's like a Kohen, I can understand the debate. Who do I hire? A rabbi or a Kohen? Because, you know, the Shliach Tzibur is a Kohen. It's also very important. How do I choose? Okay, so we have certain dinim. The Chasam Sofer uses the model to critique Chazanas. There is a history of Rabbanim who are very much wary of Chazanim. They think that sometimes they daven too long, sometimes it takes too much time. So the Tzitzel Yadzer even has a tshuva about using microphones to be a Shliach Tzibur. Can I use a microphone for a Shliach Tzibur? So he has a whole long tshuva where he analyzes different halakhic issues. At the end of the tshuva he says, I just want to be honest for 1 second. The whole enterprise of trying to make sure that the voice is projected more, everybody can hear it, maybe it promotes something that he's not so into. Promotes Chazanis. I don't know if it's so great. He quotes there a wild Chasam Sofer. Chasam Sofer says that the Shliach Tzibur is like a Kohen. But you know what it's like? It's like a Kohen that is given a perfectly kosher karba. The Yisrael comes and he gives the Kohen a karban and there's no mum on it, there's no blemishes on it, it's totally kadosh, and you give it to the Kohen, the Shliach Tzibur. Says the Chasam Sofer, you know what it's like? It's like the Kohen comes along and he picks up the karban and he walks outside of the Beit HaMikdash and he passels the entire karban. Says Chazan is like that Kohen. Chazan, he says, take it too far, it's like a person who hears. He takes a perfectly good tefillah, and he brings it chutz, he brings it outside, and he passes the whole tefillah. I don't think he means that literally, but again, a very different perspective. Most people that invoke Kohen play up the role of the Chazan. The Chazan is the one that is setting the tone for all tefillah. The Chazan is the one that's sending a critical message. The Chazan is the one that's so critical. So suddenly it comes along, and we see a very different perspective. The Chazan is not someone who... The Chazan is not someone who is the Kohen who is inspiring, but really the Chazan is somebody who is who's really sort of rooting the tefillah. These questions relate to several different issues. There is an interesting Zohar. The Zohar says that Kadosh Baruch Hu likes kelim shvurim. Kadosh Baruch Hu has a certain affinity. He likes things that are broken, a broken heart. The Be'al Rebbe even said, maybe this gematria is a little tighter, I don't know, that the gematria of Lev Nishbar equals 2 times Refua, for Refua Sanefesh and Refua Sagoth. That a Jew has a broken heart, and he davens with a broken heart, for sure a Chazan with a broken heart, so has the ability to lead to a Refua Sanefesh, a spiritual Refua, and a Refua Sagoth, a physical Refua. So the Zohar says, because Baruch Hu likes Kalim Shvurim, because Baruch Hu likes things with a broken heart. The Poskim are done in the following question. What's the halakha about a Shliach Tzibur who's a bound mum? Shliach Tzibur that unfortunately lost a limb, a Shliach Tzibur that unfortunately, for whatever reason, has a certain type of blemish. Is he allowed to be a Shliach Tzibur? So the Maharami Rittenberg says, for sure, we'd rather have him. People quote the Zohar, it's better to have him. The Lev Nishbar. This is somebody who's a broken heart. Because Baruch Hu loves Kalim Shvurim. Because Baruch Hu loves people that can really connect, people that can inspire. It's like, I'll quote this, for Chaim. The Shlomo has the Maisa of the blind Chazan. That Shlomo came along, he says he walked into Shul, and he came in, I think he said he came in a little bit late, and he couldn't see who the Chazan was. Chazan had the worst voice, had a terrible voice. And he's singing in the back, and he's saying, Nebuch, why is davening to the Amud? And then suddenly it becomes time to take out Sefer Torah. And Shlomo describes, he saw that there were two people along helping him up to the Aron. There were two people there that were helping him up to take out the Torah. And as he's walking around, Shlomo saw that the chazan was blind. So he asked the person next to him, who's this chazan? I think he said it's the chazan, the old chazan, I think from Lemberg maybe, that he used to have before the war the most beautiful voice. He used to have before the war, the mitzvah was perfect. Everything was great. The Nebuch, after the war, what the Nazis did to him, now he can't do anything. He doesn't want to daven. But we say, who would we rather have daven for us? Who would we rather have be our Shliach Tzibor than him? A person that went through what he went through, a person that was at one point such a great chazan and now isn't, who else would we rather have? The Leib Nishbar, the Baal Mum, as chazan, the Maharami Rittenberg says, it's a better chazan. Others say no. Others are hesitant. Why? So we don't assume like the Salafa Maisa, but the Mishkas Yaakov quotes, because the chazan is like a Kohen Baal Mum. So the same way that a Kohen with a blemish can't be a Kohen, so a Shliach Tzibor with a blemish can't be a Shliach Tzibor. That this really sort of, this Machlokas, we assume again that he definitely can, but it does sort of point to these different perspectives, to these different studies. The Kohen model of a Shliach Tzibor, as opposed to the other perspective. So the Baal Mum undoubtedly highlights that. The question is the reality that we currently have. I came across an interesting description of our shuls when someone was trying to describe to a non-Orthodox audience, this is a scholar, a historian, what does a Tuesday morning chakras look like? What's the role of the chazan? So the person pointed out that before davening, so there's no official person that comes in. No one's coming up with any special garb, any special clothing. Sort of look around. Anyone in Avelis, anyone who wants to daven, okay, finally someone comes up. Then they describe this sort of strange phenomenon of the chazan throughout Psukei DeZimra is setting the pace with almost nobody following him. He sort of, Shliach Tzibor, Luca, and like he's doing it very seriously and very time conscious of time. But if you look around the room, I don't know, this one's, whatever they're doing, people are doing different things. These people came in late, these people already finished, this person is learning, and he's sort of setting the pace, and like, a little bit strange. And then suddenly you come to, and this person even points out, where the chazan stands is often interesting. That in many shuls, so clear, the bima is the center point of the shul. The bima is it. So the Rambam writes that a chazan should stand in the middle of shul. We don't do that. The last of the mission is Yorei Lifnei HaTeva. We often have a chazan right here, right before the Aron. The Magen Avraham quotes based on the pasuk Shir HaMaalos Mi Ma'amakim, that we daven to Hashem from the depths. That the place of the chazan should really be lower down in the ground than the place of everybody else in shul. There's not a person who's in a particularly prominent place in the shul. He's sort of in the front. Oftentimes, the whole structure of the shul is faced towards the bima. He's sort of in the front. He's setting pace to no one. Then suddenly comes Birkas Kriya Shema. So there are a couple of these times where he says something and, he does get like a little bit of a response. He says Baruch Hu and people respond. Kedusha, people respond. But then becomes the time when you'd expect the Shliach Tzibor. This is it. He's coming along and he's Chazar Hashas. This is his time. And you look around the room and this is describing what it's like. I think it was even comparing different places of worship, how it functions. You look around and Chazar Hashas is not exactly the pinnacle of davening. It's not exactly what it's all about. So it's a certain perspective in tefillah. It's interesting that when you contrast that in a certain sense with what we see on Yom Ha'Aron, the person who come in Yom Kippur Rosh Hashanah, they would see such a different perspective. Rosh Hashanah, so the chazan is wearing a kittel. Rosh Hashanah, if you look at the text, what the chazan is saying before davening starts, it sounds like this is a person who's not just there to set a pace, not just there to, as a takana, as a remnant to a previous era when people really needed him. When it comes to Yom Ha'Aron, it seems like the chazan is really somebody who's much more like the Kohen, who much more sort of has that model, who has that perspective. It really is these sort of different perspectives in how we relate, to the chazan that we see now. Obviously, in an ideal sense, the times of Chazar Shasat are times of complete focus and times of where people are really paying attention. Obviously, you know, there's sort of some element of both. The Kohen versus the just sort of a remnant of the past, a takana, something that we have to do because it was established, but not necessarily something with as much inherent value other than, again, the fulfillment of that takana. So when we look at these issues and see how we pass them, we sort of seem to cut both ways a little bit. When it comes to, is it inherited position? Not really. Can it be mum daven? For sure. The flip side is that there are times where the father has, you know, special clothing. The Mishpacha reminded me of when the chazan is clothing, that the different clothing, the long black coat. So when that first came out, says in Yaakov Yosef that the kafachayim was machmir, that a person can't wear that. He thought they're trying to look like priests. They're trying to look like okay, they changed the garment a little bit, but they're really trying to look like a priest. So I thought as I was learning that, so maybe that reflects, again, I'm not justifying that. If you view Chazan as a Kohen, so then at least it's understandable why they want to have separate clothing, why they would want to look a little bit different. This is the Kohen. This is a person of significance. The different shuls have different sort of angles on this. The Suyakti, where there are shuls where there's one person, Chazan Sheni, who davens, you know, very frequently, mincha every day, and there are shuls where it's really, you know, the crowd doing it. These perspectives on Shaliach Tzibur are undoubtedly there. Just like to close again with a tefillah that all the Torah that we've learned should be for Shlema, for Chaim. We should be Zocha very soon to hear his tefillah, to hear his nigun, and to be able to really benefit from all he has, from the Shem Hashem in the middle, the complete and utter connection to Kadosh Baruch Hu and the passion that comes with it, and the chesed and mem on the outside, the fact that he's so chum, the fact that he's so warm, he's a person that really inspires around him with his great and wonderful presence. So he's also to a refuah shleima of the Karav Mamish. Thank you very much.